Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this late edition of Jesus Strong. This is Brian Peckham from Whitman, Massachusetts, and I do want to apologize for our technical difficulties that we had at 11:30. The enemy was trying to attack us at 11:30 and everything. We had a lot of audio trouble and everything, but now we seem to get everything under control. We got the audio up, my sermon notes up, and hopefully we're going to have a good show. Amen. And before I begin, I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that we could be able to get back on the air and fix our technical difficulty problems, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that that you will give your people the ears to hear and the eyes to see what it is that you are revealing to them, Father, Lord God. And devil, I just want to tell you right now in the name of Jesus to back off, because this is a Jesus Strong program with a Jesus Strong message. You have no power or authority through this radio show ministry. Lord, have your way and speak to your people through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And now here's the theme of our message.
You
know we've been, we had a little bit of difficulty with that song and so forth, but we do apologize. But anyways, we're going to get into the Word. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark, the 5th chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 21. Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 21. And it says, and I'm reading from the NLT, verses 21 through 43. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then the leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? This child isn't dead, she's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the little girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat. Have you ever been in a position where you were afraid and felt that all was hopeless? Have you ever thought that your concerns were unimportant to God? Have you ever had the feeling that the harder you try to accomplish a task, the more discouraged you become? I believe we have all had these moments in our lives. We can be assured of several things. Number one, God cares for us. Number two, God knows our needs. Number three, God will take care of us. We need to remember that God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, present everywhere, and omniscient, knows everything. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. In Genesis 1:1, it says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God did not discover the heavens and the earth, but God created the heavens and the earth. God made something out of nothing. He is all-powerful to this very day. Man makes great discoveries today, but God is behind all of these discoveries. Man does not make something out of nothing. Man discovers what God has already put in place. And God created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, and the land, seas and vegetation, the fish, birds, and all the animals. He created human beings. God is indeed all-powerful. God is omnipresent, present everywhere. In Psalm 139, verses 7 through 9, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." God is present everywhere. No matter where we go, he is there. We can never be lost from him. God is with us all the time. We need never fear. Paul wrote these words to the Romans. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else is all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus our Lord." No matter what hardships we may face, we will never be separated from the love of God. He is with us in our good times and our bad times. Regardless of our suffering, God is always with us because of his great love for us. We are conquerors because God is always with us and will protect us from any evil forces that come upon us. God is present everywhere. God is omniscient, knows everything. Psalm 33:13 says, "The Lord looks down from heaven, he sees all the sons of men." God knows what we are doing every minute of our lives. Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will?" In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 29, God is aware of everything that happens. Everything God created is valuable to him, but mankind is the most valuable, as illustrated by John 3:16. This was God's plan to redeem mankind. Scripture says in John chapter 2, verse 24, "But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men." Jesus said this after he had cleared out the marketplace in the temple. Although it appeared that many of the Jews believed Jesus because they saw the miracles being performed, Jesus did not trust them because he knew man's heart. God knows everything. Knowing and believing God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, present everywhere, and omniscient, knows everything. We will better understand his relationship with us and our relationship with him. Does God care for us? Our scripture says, "Just believed." Jesus had just crossed over the Sea of Galilee again. As he reached the other side of the lake, a large crowd was waiting for him. Jesus' ministry was to reach out to as many people as he could. He was not making appearances for his benefit, but he was appearing for the benefit of the people. His mission was to seek and save the lost. He did not force himself or his teaching on anyone. He preached the word, and it was up to the people to either accept it or reject it. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a decision world, a spiritual decision world, where we have a choice to make, whether we're going to live for Christ whether or not we are going to live for the devil. And the same applies today. When people accept, they have the opportunity to be redeemed and to spend eternity in God's kingdom. Jesus had already calmed the storm, sent the demons into a herd of pigs, and cured the demon-possessed man before boarding the boat, which would carry him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. When he reached the other side of the sea, there was a crowd waiting for him. It is obvious that Jesus cared for people. If we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we too must care for people. There are many people today who do not even have time for their own families. Listen to this story taken from esermons.com. A business executive became depressed. Things were not going well at work, and he was bringing his problems home with him every night. Every evening, he would eat his dinner in silence, shutting out his wife and 5-year-old daughter. Then he would go into the den and read the paper, using the newspaper to wall his family out of his life. After several nights of this, one evening his daughter took her little hand and pushed the newspaper down. She then jumped into her father's lap, wrapped her arms around his neck, and hugged him strongly. The father said abruptly, "Honey, you are hugging me to death." "No, Daddy," the little girl said, "I'm hugging you to life." How often do we shut out people? How often have we treated our loved ones like this? God does not treat us like this because of his love for us. Jesus did not ignore or mistreat people. He cared for their very needs, from the smallest to the largest. Jesus is hugging us to life. And verse 22 says, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." The question is, why would Jairus come to Jesus? Jairus was an elected official at the synagogue, and some of these rulers had a close relationship with the Pharisees. Remember, the Pharisees did not respect Jesus. Nevertheless, Jairus came to Jesus with respect and kneeled at his feet. Verse 23 says, "And Jairus begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.'" Did Jesus care about Jairus or his need? Yes, because the next verse of Scripture says, "So Jesus went with him," verse 24. Jesus cared about Jairus and the daughter. Jesus already knew about Jairus and the daughter, but he needed to be approached and a request be made for healing. This is the same for us today. Jesus knows our very needs, the trials we are facing, the situations we are in, and the help we need. All we have to do is ask and believe. Verse 24, "So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." Jesus and Jairus were followed by a large crowd of people. In this crowd was a woman who had a bleeding problem for the 12 years. Every physician she went to could not seem to help her. She had spent all her money and did not know what to do next. She was not getting any better and realized she had to do something. Does this sound familiar? How many times have we tried to use our own power to pull us through some situation? How many nights have we tossed and turned, trying to figure out a plan to help us achieve something? How many families are broken apart because of financial problems? How many families fall apart because of health issues? This woman with the bleeding knew that Jesus cared about her. She knew that if she reached out to him and could touch his garment, she would be made well. in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus cares about each one of us. Why do we suffer and torment ourselves so much when all we have to do is reach out and by faith touch the garment of Jesus? Hebrews 13 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And there's a poem that says, "Jesus cares." When you've met some disappointment and you're tempted to feel blue, when your plans have been all sidetracked or some friends has proved untrue, when you're toiling and you're struggling at the bottom of the stairs, it will seem a bit like heaven just to know that Jesus cares. Oh, this life is not all sunshine. Some days darkest clouds disclose. There's a cross for every joy bell and a thorn for every rose. But the cross is not so grievous. Now the thorn, the rosebud, wears, and the clouds have silver linings when we know that Jesus cares. Yes, Jesus cares about us. Does Jesus know our needs? Since God knows everything, then we can conclude that he knows our needs. He knew the fears of the disciples when the storm came upon them. He knew the fears of the demon-possessed people. Jesus knew the need of the woman with the bleeding problem. He knew Jairus' need before Jairus ever asked him. We can say these things because we believe God knows everything. He knows each of our needs, and at this very moment, he knew the needs of Adam and Eve. He knew the needs of Noah and his family. God knew the needs of Mary and Joseph. He knew the needs of all the people 2,000 plus years ago, and he knows our needs today. Man has many wants, but there is a difference between wants and needs. We may not get all we want, but we get what we need. When the woman touched the garment of Jesus, Jesus asked the question, "Who touched my clothes?" He already knew who touched him, but he asked the question to see if the woman would come forth, and in coming forth, he would teach her something about faith. The woman was convinced that she would be healed if she touched the garment of Jesus, indicating her faith. Faith involves action, and if the woman had just thought and not stepped forth to put her faith in action, nothing would have happened. The woman was afraid to come forth when Jesus asked the question, "Who touched my clothes?" And in verse 33 it says, "Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth." Verse 34, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Will God take care of us? Do you remember the times when money was short and food was scarce? The bills got paid and you didn't starve? God took care of you. I don't remember the Depression days. I wasn't even born in the Depression days, I should say. But I am sure there are some of you that are listening to me. You may remember the Depression days. I read about them in my history class. But however, there is this little story that I want to share with you. God will provide. Back in the Depression days of the early 1930s, my husband pastored a small country church. We then had three little children. Many times our weekly income was less than $10. One day we found ourselves out of bread and with only some rancid bacon grease for shortening. I used it, however, in making hot biscuits, and we managed to eat some of them for lunch. Later, as we put the remaining biscuits on the supper table, our 5-year-old daughter prayed very earnestly, "Dear Jesus, help us to eat these biscuits or else send us some better ones. Amen." Later that evening, the doorbell rang. There at the door stood a member of our church who had a bakery route. Before we could tell him our story, he began unloading his large bakery basket with all kinds of tempting sweet rolls, buns, biscuits, besides dark and white bread. You know, he said rather apologetically, I was tired tonight and 7 miles out here in the pouring rain seems so far. I was tempted to wait until tomorrow evening and bring these bakery things on my way to prayer meeting as I usually do. Then he added, but I was strongly constrained to come tonight. Hope you can use these things. God will take care of us. And as I've seen, Jesus took care of the woman's bleeding problem. Right after that incident, Jesus was informed that the daughter of Jairus had died. And when Jairus heard this news, he must have been devastated. But Jesus came to the rescue with these words, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Jesus knew that there was hope and he was going to follow through. In verses 37 through 40, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of Jairus. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. In those days, weeping and wailing was done when someone died. In fact, there were professional weeper and wailers. These people were actually paid by the family of the deceased. Jesus did not get upset or angry with the people. He used the word sleep to indicate that she was in a temporary state and indicated that she would rise. Jesus took the three disciples and Jairus and his wife into the room where the little girl lay. He went over and took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Verse 42 says, immediately the girl stood up and walked around. Jesus taught the people who were present a very important lesson. That lesson was to have hope and trust in him. Love, hope, compassion, understanding, faith, and trust were the core values of Jesus' ministry. In this scripture lesson, all of the characteristics are demonstrated. And there's a story I want to read. "I cried. He answered. One morning, I was on my knees praying, asking God to send me $10 some way so that I could buy an automobile license. If I were to preach the next Sunday morning at the penitentiary, I needed means of transportation. And so I prayed and told God that if he wanted me to preach there, it was his problem and not mine. While I was talking to the Lord, my wife was cleaning the carpets downstairs. She turned off the vacuum cleaner and shouted upstairs, 'Are you praying for $10? I answered, "Yes." "Well, quit praying," she said. "Somebody has just shoved it through the letter slot in the door." And in conclusion, we can be assured of several things. God cares for us. God knows our needs. God will take care of us. Listen to the words of this hymn. "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. No matter be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast, God will take care of you." Amen. And right now, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And there may be some of you, you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus, and tonight is your night. Tonight is your night to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All you have to do is just pray these words, and please mean them from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message series on Believe, and next week we're going to have a brand new series and so forth. So, and also we're going to do our very best to be back here at 11:30 next week. I am sorry that we were a half hour late. We, like I said, we had technical difficulty problems and stuff, like I'm pretty sure you heard in our song from earlier, which I do apologize for that, but hey, you know what? We went on with the show, and we thank God for that. Amen. So this is Brian Peckham from Whitman, Massachusetts, saying good night, and I pray that each and every single one of you will have a blessed week. God bless. Bye for now.